You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Woo! How you doing? Hello, Dubai! Hello, planet Earth! Tonight, we say goodbye to 2020. I know, for some people, it's been a little inconvenient. For some people, it's been devastating, so let's give it a little kick. Get it out of the way. Work our way into 2021. We got a lot of great stuff tonight. How you doing up there? Very cool down here. All right then. Kiss this!
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast. Settle in as we greet 2021 with a big old kiss.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I am joined, as always, with a man that has traveled through the mists of time and the painted ladies to get to 2021. Baco, how are you, sir?
I am well, Luce. Happy New Year. How are things with you?
I am excellent. Thank you for asking.
No one cares.
Are you excited for another fresh start to a new year? I know there's a lot of talk about we have to get past 2020, but we're 2 days into it and everything seems instantly better. Is COVID still a thing? We're still talking about that.
It is a thing. I think people are being vaccinated.
Don't forget, though, the vaccine doesn't work unless you're vaccinated. So
they're getting the money shot. Anything that the Angus brothers. I've been listening to a lot of AC/DC. I don't know if you can tell from that intro. But I gotta tell you, it feels nice and fresh, and everything's gonna be awesome this year. All that stuff, just like the Lego movie that my kids watch. It's gonna be a great year. But with that said, let's just look back a little bit. Let's just do another
eclipse
show.
Hold on, you're stepping on the lead.
Oh, sorry. Go
Cobra
ahead.
Kai 3 came out.
When?
January 1st.
You mean it's actually out to watch?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know. That was a surprise, or did they actually have that planned?
They announced it a couple weeks ago. They're going to release it a little early, but it's only like a week earlier than they were planning, apparently.
Wow. That means we can drop an oh yeah a lot earlier than I thought in the episode. But talk about some Elizabeth Shue, I'm sure, is on that show, yes?
I have only caught the first two episodes, and she's not in there yet. I got a feeling at some point she'll be back. But okay. Yeah, I figured I'd put it on your radar. That way, if it does come up on the show, it can be topical while it's still fresh and not like in June when you get around to it. So.
True. And reference only the bad parts of the show.
But yes. you wanted to take a moment to look back. Cobra Kai is our future.
Cobra Kai is our future, but I gotta say, I think we should just drop another clip show here and just revel in our in our awesomeness. What do you think? Another 3 hours?
A clip show of the clip shows that we've done so far.
There you go. I love it. The best.
These are the greatest clips from the clips.
Yeah, there you go. You take the last year and you just keep dialing it down until there's actually nothing left.
Yeah, I look forward to the little bit of a break at the end of the year every year with those. So that's kind of nice, but it's fun for at least some of our listeners to look back and listen. And you know what? Some people probably just need a break from us too. They'll say, I'll catch up with you in January, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've heard this before. It's okay. But I got to tell you, what was interesting is I was trying to think and I might be wrong, because I am most of the time, but I think the entire 2020 was fueled by coffee beans. I don't think there was a single evening show recorded.
Man, I'd have to go back specifically, but yeah, we switched to mornings towards the end of 2019, right?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like I think that it used to be an evening thing with Coors Light and a snotty IPA, and then it moved to like Folgers. I'm sure you're drinking Folgers, whatever the generic brew is, and me some kind of like cultivated, custom Colorado blend.
I get a little more freaky with my coffee than I do with my beer, but I'm not like a connoisseur, that's for fucking sure. And if I'm out and about, it's a flat-out perfect stereotype. I literally will probably take a convenience store cup of coffee over a $4 Starbucks.
Go with the big gulp size.
I don't need 48 ounces of it, no, but I'm just like, I don't need to pay $5 for, and I don't need to wait forever either behind three people.
True.
Like, it's like, this is takes longer than it takes to cook a meal. You know what I mean? It's just, fuck, can you pour some of that into one of those cups for me? And that's all I need. But
the baristas like me because I go up there and I just basically say, I want coffee. They're like, oh, thank God. Not one of these one of these simple men.
Yeah, I give you credit there. I've actually been with you when you order coffee. You and I, that's one area that you and I are very similar. It's pretty much, you take it black, right? Do you put any creamer in yours or anything like that?
I do add a little bit of non-man fluid to it a little bit. Just a little bit.
So fluffy, though, that, to the point where it's just like, well, what you're really telling the world is you don't like coffee. Could I get
yes.
It's like, I want ice cubes in there. I want whipped cream. I want, it's just like, so it's cold. It's not hot. It's basically the color of like milk, and it's fucking sugary as hell. So apparently what you want is a malt.
What you want is a man hot chocolate.
Yeah.
is basically what you want. But the thing that drives me nuts too is this question where I actually do want to, if there wasn't plexiglass, they might get a punch in the face, is you ask for coffee, you're like, oh, do you want that cold or hot? What the fuck kind of question is that? If I wanted it cold, I would tell you cold. If it's coffee, it should be hot. I have never, ever had an iced coffee. To this day, I still have survived that. Have you?
No, I think I've tasted my wife's a couple times, but no, I've never fucking purchased one. But I'm going to side on their end because they've probably had some soccer mom or a Karen or someone who's Paul Rudd in that movie Role Models, where he freaks out on the person over the term venti.
Good morning. Can I take your order?
Can I get a tall chai?
And a large black coffee.
A what?
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
He means a venti. Yeah, the biggest one you got.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20.
Danny.
Yeah. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
They've probably had somebody unload on them and like, you didn't tell me I was getting hot coffee.
Yeah, okay, fine. You're always in defense. I'm always in that moat.
You know, you're right. You're 100% correct. I'm just saying the reason they're asking is probably because of that. And, you know, it's just right. Like
too many questions. That's the fact that they have to ask that is a problem.
There we go. Yes, society.
There you go. And speaking of that, welcome to 2021. We're changing the format. We're going to all coffee talk. What do you think? We're going to interview. We have already got Dave Ellison on the phone, and we've got Charlie Benante. Who else has coffee?
Well, Kiss has coffee coming back.
Oh, good.
So someone paid them to use the logo.
That's right.
And suddenly you'll get some generic-ass endorsement from Gene or Paul via tweet. Sure. The people at Kiss Coffee are the finest coffee makers on the planet. I truly enjoy the experience every step of the way.
Brought to you by the Dubai Tourism Chamber of Commerce. Oh, we'll get into that later, though.
Yeah. But we had kind of a different Christmas this year. At the Bakken household. Do you mind if I touch a little bit on that? Maybe see if you got any holiday things?
No, I think we have two COVID Christmas stories.
Yeah.
The change.
Yeah, it was just the big difference was smaller. It was my stepdaughter Jade and her husband and Amy and I. And, you know, we did a video thing with my mom and my sister and then my other sister and her man out there in Seattle. So it was still got a chance to kind of see everybody, but it was a little different. But I did have one gift I wanted to share with you. We'll have to describe this for the listener, but this is from my stepdaughter Jade. She got me this. Can you see that? See if you can make that.
I can see
up.
The Funko Pop.
Yeah, it is Tyler Durden.
Oh, nice.
From Fight Club, which, you know, easily a top 10 movie of mine.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Still wasn't sure why she bought this for me. I was like, well, I do love that movie, but you and I have never talked about it. We've never watched it together. We've never shared any, like, you know, connection there. I don't have a Tyler Durden room. And newsflash, I no longer have a Kiss room either, people. But I'll digress from that.
Wow. You did turn 50.
I did turn 50. That was probably something. That has a lot to do with it, I'm sure. But anyway, she bought this for me, and I'm going to bring it up so you can really picture what I'm about to say there.
I'm seeing the glasses. Yeah. I'm seeing the cool. Yeah, I know Burr's outfit. What does he have in his hand?
Bar of soap.
Okay, of course. Yeah, okay. I got it.
She got it for me because she said, that looks like me. It's a Jason Pop in her. So,
okay.
You know what I got out of that? I was just told I look like Brad Pitt.
Oh, I've always thought there's a similarity.
Yeah, I get that all the time. In other words, this is the I look like Brad Pitt as a pop. Oh.
There you go. My God. I mean, but with me, it's the same thing. Like, I got a George Clooney one. We're the Ocean's 11. You and I, right?
Yeah, there we
just
go.
Spitting images.
Hey, we should do Ocean's 14.
Oh, we should do. Yeah, that's right. You know, because the fourth sequel is always the best, yes?
Yeah, Loaded Weapon or Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon 4, Ocean's 14. You got to do the math. It is the fourth one.
Mm. Well, anyway, what about that was the highlight for me, at least as far as a takeaway. It was good to see everybody and share some food. I had to go to a Asian grocery store at the last minute, Christmas morning, to get some, I don't know, food items that I failed to prepare for, but it's kind of fun to do that, you know, because they're the only place open.
I know,
poor black guy in there trying to buy some diapers and can't find them.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I wasn't trying to be racist, but he and I were the only two non-Asians that I noticed. But yeah, we're all wearing masks, so who knows. What about you? How was your holiday?
Well, I had same kind of thing with COVID Christmas. We planned on, you know, visiting the parents in Indiana and Stephanie's side in Illinois and things like that. But that was all canceled because my parents basically said, don't come. So then that meant small Christmas or do we do something? So we decided to go to a local hotel that's kind of one of these kind of like, I guess, you ever heard of? Well, I'll give you the name. It's called The Gaylord of the Rockies is the name of the place. Have you heard of these hotels?
The Gaylords, yes.
Okay, all right. It's basically like a Vegas-type hotel for families. Where it's got all the swimming, all the stuff. It's just a big, you never leave. You get in there, and it's got everything you need. But I thought it was cool because—
Water park?
All that stuff.
Buffet?
All the stuff you could think of. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And COVID on tap.
COVID on tap.
Everything like that. But no, we had, it was kind of a unique thing. But the thing I thought was kind of interesting was the Gaylord of the Rockies is actually my username in KISS FAQ.
Mm. That's you, huh?
That's me. That's
it's, you're it's such a troll.
Yeah, it's THEE though. The Gaylord of the Rockies. Just so you know, there's two of us on there.
Mm. Okay.
So we go there and we're going to go there for 2 days. And, you know, it's the whole thing where everybody's masked up.
Did you book it through an app?
I did not actually went direct to the website.
Okay.
There was no RV involved. Okay. So this was it was a stationary place to stay overnight. So I was pumped, man. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they had all these you know, it's a weird thing. There's thousands of people all masked up at this place. But we get there. And we check in, and one of the things that they boast a lot is their whole COVID-19, you know, deep cleaning, yeah, all this kind of stuff for the hotels to go in there. So we get in there, unpack our things, and go to – I'm a man that always likes to put his stuff in the drawers. I don't like things to be just standing in my suitcase. So I pull off the top drawer, and in the top drawer is a pair of a man's underwear sitting there. So what do you do in this situation to begin with?
If I find somebody else's, it's definitely a dude's drawers.
That's just a pair of boxer shorts, not exactly white, not exactly.
If
not
I'm in that
white,
situation, I assume I got the room you had the night before. Because what grown man unpacks their fucking clothes in a hotel for a couple nights stay?
I like to organize. I like to make things out.
That's why you end up leaving shit in the hotel all the time too.
I like to have things. You know, we've had these conversations about you and the house cleaner and things like that. So I like to have things just like laid out. I don't like to dig in there. Anyway, so the point is, there's a man's underwear in there, and this is obviously normally be kind of a funny thing, but at this point, how much cleaning went on there if the maid didn't even notice this disgusting pair of drawers in the, you know what I'm saying? This ain't Motel 6, bro.
I get you. Yeah, if you're going to brag about it, but, you know, the maid's probably like, every time I open these drawers, there's nothing in them anyway, so fuck it. Today I'm skipping it. The one day she doesn't look.
Okay. So do you say anything about it, or do you just go about your day?
Man, I probably just go up my day, throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
Get a pair of tongs from the buffet and then put them back when I'm done. That's how I passively aggressive pay it forward.
Okay. Well, I thought you'd have a different reaction for that, just for the fact that you know, you think that the maids like to take their your toothbrush and run it up and down their butt or something like that. That's where you don't have anybody come in, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's right, one of the many reasons.
So I just took it as, you know, somewhat amusing, so I figured this is at least worth a free drink, right? Just at least tell the people
they're going there.
So, so I go downstairs and I just said, like, on the way to dinner, I just mentioned to them, and they're like, oh, you know, so sorry, Mr. Cannon, here's a $25 credit towards anything you want to do. Great, all this stuff. I'm like, all right, thanks, no problem.
That's what, two drinks?
Two drinks, whatever. It's a couple appetizers. I'm good. That pair of underwear. And I said, like, okay, just the main thing is just please go in there and take that underwear out of the room. That's all I'm asking for.
Oh, and your toothbrush was definitely in somebody's butthole.
It's like, okay. So we go to dinner, come home that night, open the drawer. What do you think's still in there?
The drawers?
Damn straight. Drawers are still in there. Drawers are still in there. And I say, all right, it's no big deal. I lay down in the bed to go to bed, and then I look up. I look up on the walls, and there is a pair of socks shoved over the sprinkler system for fire and everything, shoved over that. There's another one. The other sprinkler system has another black sock on it, and there's a huge Target bag with duct tape taped on the wall. This is a very high wall, so you didn't see it at first, over some kind of sensor. So now I'm like, what the fuck kind of room am I in? I'm like, what do you think? First off, why do you think that anybody would ever do that? Shove shocks, socks.
Someone is definitely fearful of 5G weakening his immune system. There's some conspiracy crap there, like he's being filmed in there. Maybe it's KGB. Who knows?
Okay, so then I'm like,
were the socks extra woolly?
they were I don't know if they were jerk socks or not. They were just simply, they were black socks and everything like that. usually I think jerk socks are white just for reasons of stains, but the washable. But the point is that they have these were up there, and I'm like, and the first thing I thought of was this is worth at least another two appetizers. But any other theory of why you think those were up there?
No, because there is a reason they did it. There's people that believe they're being, you know, spied upon at times. It's some kind of conspiracy nutbag. Like I said, what's your theory?
It was my theory. It was the person went down there, and I told them that, and without even a blank or anything, they go, oh, yes, we see that every once in a while. That's because, you know, Colorado, you can do some things legally that you can't do other places. So the person that was in your room was smoking up before you got there and didn't want to trigger the smoke. They'd use that bag and duct tape the bag on there and then cover up the things so they could smoke there. I'm like, okay, so you just admitted somebody just got stoned in my room right before I came in here. I'm like, okay, can you please just come in? I go, whatever, it didn't smell like that. They're like, well, what can I do for you? I'm like, I don't know. He's just, well, now you're doubled. You're up to $50 now for credits towards the thing for this. We will come in and take care of it for you. So I go, okay. So we go about our day, and at night we come back to our room. I walk in there. I look in the drawer, still pair of underwear, still
socks.
And then some of the socks are gone, but there's still one sock on there. So I'm like, this is a comedy of errors. So I'm like, and trust me, this is going somewhere between besides the socks and underwear. Okay. So I call,
I'm hooked here.
Okay. So I call the front desk and I just go, listen, this whole thing's kind of ridiculous, but I've talked to you guys twice there. I'm kind of concerned about your cleaning protocols because I've told you where everything is. You're still missing socks. The underwear is still here. It's been a day since I've talked about this. Can you please just come in here and take care of this? It's just becoming ridiculous. They're like, okay, no problem. I'll have somebody up there. And they go, but we're changing to go to the pool right now. So just come up here in like 10 minutes when we're gone. No problem. Get off the phone. Boom. Lickety split. 60 seconds later, someone's at the door. Okay, come in here to take the underwear and clean it all up. The maid and everything. I'm like, no, I said, wait for a second. I got all the kids in here. My wife's changing. Just, can you come back here in 10 minutes? No problem. They leave. No bullshit. But 2 minutes later, all of a sudden, everybody is basically nude in their room right now, changing right now. All of a sudden,
you got a weird like the family. Fucking.
Okay. We'll just say we're not presentable right now. Is all I'm saying. Is it that just walking around nude? Hello, this is a nude part of the day.
Hey, Dad.
It's a nude. It's the naked Brady Bunch. No, but anyway, all of a sudden, like the fucking SWAT team. No knock, nothing, a no knock warrant. Bam! This kid who must be right out of the maintenance academy smashes into the room. And everything, he's like, and I go, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? He just bashes in the thing. He's like, I'm here for the sprinkler system. I heard the thing is defective. I have to be in here. And I'm like, I go, get out of here, man. Everybody like jumps out of the way. I close the door. He's like, I have to come in. It's my job. I have to fix the sprinkler system. I'm like, listen, the only thing on the sprinkler system is a sock on top of this thing. Just chill out for a second. It was like the scene out of Christmas Vacation when the SWAT team comes through at the end. Two other people come to him. I'm calling down the room. This guy's bashing. I'm like, finally, my wife gets dressed and everything like that, and finally we let him in, and he just pulls the sock off. He's like, I'm so sorry. The guy thinks he's going to get fired now. I mean, who doesn't knock on a hotel room before they just bash? He came in, and the place is on fire. So point is, what do you think happened next from the front desk at this point? This has escalated quite a bit.
25 more bucks.
Free stay.
Which was the, I'm starting to, I think the listener is going to back me on this. Those are your socks. That was your target bag. This was the plan the whole time. And they kept getting taken down, but you kept putting new ones up saying, look, this is Cobra hack you were teasing me about.
That's what I'm saying. That's the hack. If you want to get a free stay at any hotel, you bring two black socks, a pair of dirty underwear, and a target bag and duct tape it to the wall. That's all you need, man.
Oh, man. Let's go back to the people smoking pot. First of all, edibles are widely available in Colorado. I know this for a fact. Anyway, even if you wanted to smoke over doing an edible, like, cause to me, I would say in that situation, if you really wanted to get high, just have some edibles with you.
Sure.
But maybe all you have is the pot. All that stuff that they did to smoke in their room is way more work than walking outside and smoking it in your car.
No kidding.
It's just like, just fucking go get high in your car. So right. That's you know what? That adds to my personal loose cannon did this on purpose conspiracy.
But my whole thing too is that if
Christmas
you're doing
bonus.
All I gotta say is that I just think it's hilarious that if you're gonna go through that effort, you're saying that I did it myself. I'll go with that theory, whatever you say. But let's say if you were that person that does that, if you actually are going through the effort of putting socks on sprinklers and duct taping a bag on the wall, aren't you gonna remember that you did that?
Not if you're high.
Leave it there. I guess not. Just get up and go, just like every hotel. You're just always short two socks in the bag. So now that we've established that I am the Karen of hotel guests, by the way, Tim Bream, you have a mission. Put that haircut on me.
There you go.
I need to speak to your manager. Yes?
Yep. Let's get it going. Well, despite ruining the lives of a few hotel employees, you that's not all you did here on the holiday season. You kissed 2020 goodbye, yes?
I did, man, and I was still waiting for that picture of you passed out on your front porch.
I actually had to work. Oh man! So man. Yeah, let's. So of course, what we're talking about, LC, is that the Big Kiss pay per view event here on New Year's Eve. Basically, it was 11 a.m. local time. I think 10 o'clock your time. I'm not sure what time it would have been in Dubai, but, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, something like that. But, yeah, they were in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates for this big thing. It's the biggest stage ever built in 2020. and they were going to do so much stuff, man. They're going to $1.5 million of pyro. Do you know how much pyro that is, Luce?
$1.5 million worth? I'm not sure, but yeah, they have a lot of oil and gas there, I understand.
Yeah, the what is it? What's the dollar exchange in the UAE?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a profit deal.
Yeah, that's all it is. They only did this for money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we covered it a little bit. There was like a $40 buy-in, a $50 buy-in, a $250 VIP, and a $1,000 VIP. I don't want to break down the packages that much. You just got more ship the more money you spent. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the two base packages basically got you the live event, plus you could watch it for 24 hours or 72 hours as much as you wanted. And we'll touch on that here in just a second. But yeah, so... Let's get into, should we do a good, bad, ugly thing? Because I do think there's something good to say about this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can start if you want.
All right. For the good, it has to be the setup and First of all, it was shot masterfully, but it seems like that's getting real easy to do because almost anything that's done now with these live performances, it just seems from the editing to the cameras, it's beautiful. And what an amazing setup. You know what I mean? That stage was super cool. Right in front of the pool, looking out at that wall of patios on the hotel, just a very unique kind of thing.
I was going to say, if you want to come imagine it, if you've been to Vegas or if you've ever seen Bellagio on TV, it's sort of like that with like they were playing in front of what would be this huge. Well, it's actually a pool.
Yeah.
But imagine that kind of setup. Like people are watching from the hotel and then there's the pool.
And were people in the pool? It looked like
I never saw it. Not in the first part, at least.
Okay.
I mean, I would assume. I mean, that sounds like if you're going to go, that'd be a pretty sweet ass deal. Just sitting on your.
Yeah.
For any concert, my God.
I got it. Yeah. Right? If that was like something feasible as far as like getting to and buying a ticket, that'd be something I might splurge for. One last thing in the good, I kid you not, as the day hit, you know, and largely because I'm like, well, I could be doing that, but I'm at work instead, right? If I was, let's say I had the day off, and especially if I was home by myself, I might have dropped the $40 to watch and fucking cracked a few beers and just did some hardcore day drinking with the TV loud as fuck. I started, you know, that all of a sudden seemed a little appealing to me. Like, well, if I was drunk, I could probably handle Paul's vocals because the teasing up to it worked on me a little bit in that sense. Like, I was like, this does look really fucking cool. So kudos to them and everybody that put that together. I haven't heard where the money behind this is, right? I mean, I think we know at this point Kiss doesn't do anything on their own dime. They basically get paid to do something. And so somebody had to basically cover all the overhead and everything.
Some the funds from cocaine, oil, and I believe the Chamber of Commerce in Dubai. I think that's where the money came from.
The Dubai swear jar.
The tourism. Oh, yeah, that's true. That too. The tourism office.
Everybody in Dubai, anybody time someone swears in Dubai, they have to throw a dollar in this jar.
They just took all that together and got them there.
Yeah. Don't.
Wow.
You said bitch. Damn it. Now I said it too.
Yeah, it's quite interesting the rest of the world sometimes with their laws.
So what did you think?
You can go right to jail if you say fuck. If you can say fuck in public, I think you go to jail.
Did you know? Did you know Treble spent like a year in Dubai?
Why? How? How'd that happen?
His mom was married to somebody who worked there, and he was like a kid out of high school and wasn't sure what to do, so he went and lived with her for a year, and He got a bit role on a Pakistani soap opera that was shot there.
You have to share some of that footage.
I've never seen it.
Come on.
No, I'll reach out to Treble, see if he can find it. But yeah, he said he was just hired for his American look. And he walked into a room holding a box, and they just they voiced over whatever he was saying in Pakistani. So he said he just was told to walk into a room and like just move his mouth like a South Park character, you know.
Wow.
Treble is a guitar player in Jesus Christ, or for those not sure.
I got to tell you, by the way, that is something he should always lead with.
Yeah, anytime
he meets. If you meet somebody for the first time, you should just say, hey, my name's Treble. I'm the guitarist in Jesus Christ, and I was on a Pakistani soap opera.
I knew him for like 2 years before he told me. I'm like, how am I just hearing about this? Like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. That's good Lord. Come on, people. You got to know your highlights in your life.
Anyway, back to the Kiss pay-per-view. Yeah, it sounds like you basically echo the same thing that it was just an amazing setup. And what is it? Is it the ocean or some sort of sound right behind them? I'm not sure what the layout there is. I know. But there was basically they were on a beach next to a pool, which is always weird to me. But
no, I mean, it's definitely something that would basically have never been feasible unless there was nobody in the audience. Because they didn't need to put anybody anywhere.
So
you know what I mean?
So every Kiss show on the second leg of the End of the Road tour.
Pretty much, yeah. But with that said, before we go into more of the technical stuff, can we talk about a little bit of missed opportunities? Can we touch on that?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, I mean, as far as the setup and everything like that, I mean, talk about a missed opportunity not to have Vince Neil be an opener, right? With a whole pool set up, sliding down, right? Like we've talked about, right into the pool. Could there be anybody else that be a good opener for them?
Well, I like the idea of like Blackie Lawless chumming the pool with meat. And then, yeah, maybe actually release some sharks in there if there are Kiss fans in there.
Of course, I think so. I think that Blackie kind of switches up and uses chum.
Kiss fans like are the meatiest of fans.
That's right. You talk about the sharks didn't show up before, but they were just waiting for the Dubai, overweight Dubai ones. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
They're like triple. There's definitely triple XL all in this pool. They have everything I need. Those sharks are loving it. Yeah. Trying to think.
Let's just put it this way: like none of the Kiss fans in the pool take their T-shirt off.
That's right. They all have their pool shirts.
Mark Cicchini's in there with it tucked in.
I didn't know you could get a Ted Nugent in a shirt with a pool shirt, like the actual material. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Oh my lord.
If you're going to lick them or whatever.
You can't lick them, lick them.
Terrible one. Lick them is that album cover on there. That's great. Anyway, there's the visual for you today. What else, any other missed opportunities there? Those are the ones that came to mind right away as far as making it more fun. Oh, and a painter. Why couldn't you have a painter?
Oh, right. As an opening act, yeah. They should have actually come up with a more underwhelming opening act to really...
What's a more underwhelming than a painter? Let me think of somebody.
A barber?
his cut.
like a military barber, too. You just sit in the chair and he gives you a buzz cut and do that for 15 minutes.
Just lines
and
them up.
Then, like, show him sweeping up the hair and then kiss!
I love it. Okay, I think we're good there. Any other, now, as far as, do you want to talk about what I saw first?
Yeah, I'll get into it, man.
Sure.
Give us the review. Paint the picture for me, man.
Well, again, like most of my reviews, I don't put a lot of effort into it. And what I mean by that is that I bailed after like 20 minutes. But it was starting out and I was like, okay, I'm watching this. The production's great. And it's with all these 4K drones and everything that they have flying over, however they do it. You know, you get to see the whole scope of everything. They open with Detroit Rock City. And I'm like, okay. Doesn't sound that bad. Paul sounds okay. I'm not sure if the track's all this. And I'm looking at it. I'm trying to see the trickery. I'm like, okay. And then it goes into Shout Out Loud. And then it goes into Deuce. And those first two songs were okay. Deuce, you can't really fuck it up. Gene still can bring it at this day. I thought he looked good. It was Deuce always wins. I don't care what lineup it is. It's just they always can do it. And then it kind of switched back to Paul, and I was just like, the thing that's weird about it is I'm like, okay, and I think this has been hammered to death, but I don't get the fact that if he's singing to a track, because I was trying to see when is the real stuff being pumped in, and when is he actually singing, when is he not, and stuff like that, and I just was like, it still sounds bad.
Yeah.
So why? What is even the point of this? Right?
I'm wondering, too, if there isn't some... look, I've seen some lip-sync performances. I think Crazy Nights was one that really stuck out from... This was during the End of the Road tour. But it was like... I mean, Paul talking, like, leading up to it was like... It was like... painful to hear him talk, and then all of a sudden the song kicks in and it's like 1992. That was one time.
That.
So I guess, but I've seen more of what you're talking about where it's like, well, if he is using backing tracks, he probably should get better ones. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to make it realistic. I give him kudos to that. It's like, well, I can't sound that good. No one's gonna believe that garbage.
What I like is when I open up a brand new version mic, but a brand new Sacred mic and use it for the first time.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Exactly. I get where you're going there. Because the UAE is such a great place to live, I think, why don't you touch on that a little bit before we get into lyrics? You watched some of the Kiss pre-show too. That's on YouTube, apparently.
Well, I just Googled yesterday on YouTube the Kiss concert, and the only thing that showed up was this pro shot, like our intro, which was basically like something put together by the tourism bureau of Dubai, and it was Gene and Paul on top of skyscrapers overlooking the beautiful architecture and talking about that A, Dubai was on their bucket list, and B, that they would move here immediately. They've been there for 3 days the first time in their life. Because that's what I do usually when I visit any city.
That's why I keep being fascinated by this city. It really is a city of the future. And I hope more cities are like this. Nobody looks at you a different way if you're dressed this way or that way, have religious instinct or not. The architecture and the quality of life just seems, it's calm, it's quiet. There are no honking horns. There's no smog. There's no, it's crazy. And all this sort of the minutia of it all. People don't see that. They're just going to be awed by the show. They have no idea all the work and the preparation that came into it in Emirates and how fantastic they were, and the UAE and the country and just welcoming everybody. It's just, it doesn't get better. I think it's a good lesson for those people in the West who think, you know, we're the superior culture. You got some stuff to learn. Come over here and look around and see how it makes you feel. This is my first time, but give me a little bit and it'll feel like home. I would have no problem moving here, none.
If I had a bucket list, I would be checking two things off it, being in Dubai and flying Emirates.
Anywhere in the world, I'm like, within 2 days, I'm good to move here. No problem. I can move here tomorrow is basically how they were saying and talking about how advanced the culture is. But with all this advancement, what do they have to do?
Well, because it's such a great place to live and they're so advanced, sure, they have to censor some of their own lyrics. And I'm sorry, at this stage of the game, it's not 1965. Kiss lyrics are hardly edgy, even in hindsight. If anything, they're sexually inappropriate for children to sing along to, but that's about it. Yeah, so they had to change the I just imagine someone in Dubai whose job it was to read through all the Kiss lyrics and find out the two they had to change. But
these are really bad lyrics, but you have to change some of these.
It'd be funny if they had to change them because they just weren't very good.
Let's actually put some skill into these lyrics.
But yeah, so they, in God of Thunder, they had to change Virgin Soul into Sacred Soul. And they had to change the word bitch from 100,000 years. It doesn't say here what Paul used. Do you happen to know what he said instead of bitch? Shapoop?
I'm going to say girl. I don't know. That's a weird one to substitute.
Inferior and repressed gender.
I think that's what it is.
Inferior gender while I was gone.
That's right. It just rolls off the tongue.
And you know, and you talked about how they. By the way, nothing more rock and roll than caving to a government that said doesn't like your lyrics.
My
joke there was I want to rock and roll at an appropriate volume and time of day, and party in an appropriately and government sanctioned method.
Yeah, this is basically the same thing as ridiculous as back in the 60s when Rolling Stone had to change on Ed Sullivan to, I think, let's spend the night together to let's spend some time together.
Mm.
Seriously.
And not do it? I know like Jim Morrison on The Doors, he was supposed to say, I can't remember, was it Light My Fire that he couldn't say?
Something, but that's when he got arrested.
It was a line in the song, but yeah.
Right,
no,
exactly.
They didn't get arrested then, but they got banned from Ed Sullivan. But again, you know, it just supposedly Paul got in trouble for licking his middle finger during Heaven's on Fire, which I hope is true because to me, at least that's a rock and roll moment. You know what? They don't want you living there now, Paul. This bucket list dream of yours to move your family to Dubai.
If I had a bucket list,
I think one of the coolest things you can always do is to suck your middle finger in public on stage. That is a rock and roll move. Just the look of sucking your own finger. You can't stop the star man from licking his finger.
Yeah. You know, he's giving the middle finger to, I don't know, to who, I guess, in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's like, you can't stop me. I'm going to lick this finger.
And Tim Bream shared a video, and I didn't catch the moment, so I didn't try to find it, but he said that even Gene kind of gives him a look like, oh, my God, we're in trouble now.
No, with that said, as great as a Photoshop man Tim Bream is, not a news source.
Yeah, that's true. Not a doctor.
So can't confirm or deny that.
You know, you would think somebody who spent most of his life with his mom driving him around would not be so embracing of a country that doesn't allow women to drive.
For those people in the West who think, you know, we're the superior culture, you got some stuff to learn.
Good point. Well, that was a good one there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Speaking of sucking up and being a poor job at it, did you happen to see Paul and Gene's tweets about the airline that flew him out there?
I did find them. I took a photo of it and I sent it to you. Did you read it?
Oh man, you're killing me. Well, apparently the airline is called Emirates, which must be I've never heard of it, but I've never flown to Dubai. So, but anyway, so Gene tweeted out, "Hello Dubai, very excited to be here. Thank you Emirates for a fantastic flight."
Sure.
Which is kind of an odd thing. You know, he takes a lot of flights, and I don't see him thanking the airline for the flight. In an oddly timed moments after that tweet, Paul had a very similar thing to say. "Loving Emirates Airlines. Always great to find something that lives up to the reputation. Very, very nice."
He also added it with hopefully... next time you'll allow our wives to come with us.
Yeah.
Next time.
They had to delete that part out. First of all, they wrote their tweets, sent it to Dubai for approval. They were sent back to them with the corrections, and then were allowed to tweet those from that point on. Yeah, right.
These tweets are government approved.
I mean, look, if you're gonna do something like this, like. You're going to try to, like, it's like, you know, yeah, I'll say something nice about you. I'll endorse you. Make an effort, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm the airline, I'm like, seriously? Always love a company that lives up to nobody knows us, man. You know, but hey, it's really on them. It's not like Gene and Paul are fucking social media influencers. It's like, other than Mankini, who is now booking a flight on that airline only because of that? It's like the three sides of the coin hosts are probably doing it, and I don't know, but Jesus.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even from like the whole pre-show, the tourism, who is basing their vacation plans around what Kiss is telling them? Is that where it's? I mean, is that where are you going to go? Where are you going to go this year? Well, right here. This is like the rock and roll version of Yelp.
Oh man. So how long this had to been in the works for at least 6 months. I'm just curious, because with everything going on, and as outspoken as both Gene and Paul have been about mask wearing, COVID, and how serious we should take all this shit, this seems like an unnecessary move for them. But unless there's something to the theory that Gene is starting to run out of money, Doc is running out of money, you know, I mean, I got to believe that they have a steady stream of... a revenue coming in somehow, although rumor has it they don't have their publishing, so they don't get anything from those massive streaming numbers they get. So I just or record sales or any of that stuff. So I don't know that there's any validity to that. That was one rumor that's why Gene is selling his house because he can't pay taxes anymore.
Well, I just think that Gene and Paul are actually spies, like in the Winds of Change podcast. What do you think?
That's
the whole thing.
Yeah, that maybe we could start a new pod. Maybe that should be my next podcast after whatever. Never mind. I'll wrap that up and then I'll get into the whole conspiracy of like that they're actually trying to infiltrate Dubai and bring American culture to them and you know open up the world to these women that they can't show their faces. They can't.
Come on, I mean this is the same thing. Doc McGee's involved. This is all the same shit again.
Oh my god,
is the same thing as the Scorpions. Don't you understand?
Doc is the linchpin.
He connects everything. Everything.
He
from,
is the puppet master. Klaus Meine had no idea what he was doing, and Gene and Paul have no idea. He's like, got you, motherfuckers.
That's right. He's just he's taking it next level. He's like, fuck it. There's a podcast out here about this. I'm just gonna like fly in the face of how he could never do it again, right?
Right.
You know?
And he's like, I can do it bigger and better.
Yeah. You've never been to Dubai. It's a whole new stream.
I can get women in driver's licenses.
That's right.
I don't even know if that's true anymore. By the way,
doesn't matter. We've not done any research on Dubai culture at all. We're just going off of you know, licking fingers and changing bitch and virgin. That's it.
Yeah, you know, and of course some stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're equal opportunity offenders.
Well, let's touch real quickly on the replay thing, because I found out I couldn't believe what that ended up being. So if you bought the $40 package, you got to see it for the next 20. You had a 24-hour period. You could continue to watch it.
Right.
And for $50, you get that extended to 72 hours. I think with the other two packages, it was for the 30-day period. But anyway, the point being is that you had some opportunity to see it again. So it turns out that it was just on a loop, though. That was not on demand. So you would just punch in at whenever
what
it was.
It's a loop?
Yeah, like a 24-hour loop. They would. It was almost like that TNT or TBS replaying that fucking annoying Christmas movie with that kid shoot with the BB gun for 24 hours, you know.
Whoa. You couldn't cue it. You would have to just sign in, and wherever the concert was when you need to start watching it.
That is my understanding. Now, if somebody had it and knows that to be different, I'm happy to have that corrected. But I saw three people comment in one of the KISS groups that was what was happening. And, yeah, I got to tell you, let's say I did buy it and I had to work and I wanted to come home. I'm like, I can't wait, long day. And I got to start like three quarters into it and then watch it from the beginning after that. Fuck that. What is this, 1992? Like, I rented Shawshank Redemption from my cable company. I remember like calling up and getting like a movie time. It's like, oh, it starts in 20 minutes. You know,
right.
Jesus, fuck.
No.
On demand's been around quite a while before streaming existed.
No, that I just can't even understand this. I mean, was this in Dubai or Kazakhstan? I mean, this is quite backwards in technology. I mean, I have everything is on demand now. You buy it. That's what I did with Clutch. You had it for 3 days, and then you could hit play whenever you wanted. Those guys were just doing it out of their house, pretty much, for their setup. No kidding. They're just using their like home studio, or whatever.
The little black box in the corner on the floor is what's running the live stream. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand this. This situation. I mean, I remember when I had to get like in 92, I did a pay-per-view with Guns N' Roses in Paris or whatever. Mm. And if you wanted to see Soundgarden open, that was the opener for that concert. You better be there, motherfucker, and sit down, schedule your day, because you pay your $40, you're watching then.
Yeah.
That's no way. A loop. This is ridiculous. I mean, is Dubai, is their internet ruled by, is it actually like, is it fueled by those CDs from AOL still? Is that what's hosting everything?
They got to put in a new account.
one guy just feeding those free fucking CDs into a machine constantly to keep it going.
Oh, man. We're out of minutes.
Hey!
Last thing I want to ask you about this, because every time, you know, KISS has never been that imaginative with their set list, but they've typically changed them from tour to tour. So what were your thoughts when you saw the set list? Because that got leaked out.
It's fine. They played like 22 songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I'm always going to want a fucking revenge song on there or some other 80s stuff on there. But for the most part, I mean, if I'm at that show, that's a fucking, I mean, they're not going to play your deep stuff. They got Parasite on there. They got, I don't know. I mean, not that bad. That's what I got to tell you. I mean, it looks pretty solid.
I agree.
Set list.
I've never been terribly offended by set lists for the most part, unless there's some like certain times. Like I still get mad when Glorious Sons won't play heavy, but That's really, there isn't too many times. I think I'm fine with the set list. I go the opposite way with you. Like, if I'm cherry picking, I'm getting rid of all the 80s stuff with the makeup. For some reason, it just doesn't work for me. It could be a visual thing. I really don't know what the hang up is there. It just doesn't click with me as well as the vice versa. Not that I don't like those songs. I would love to see them take the makeup off and fucking do an all 80s show, to be honest with you. Well, not now, but the set list to me, not a whole lot to complain about, honestly.
No, the only thing I would complain about, seriously, the only complaint I would say is why is Say Yeah on there? I don't get that. But I mean, they got Heaven's on Fire, Tears Are Falling. I mean, look at this right now. I mean, it's pretty much what you would want to see as a human being, sure, seeing a show there. They actually had Strutter in there. That had to sound terrible.
So there, Tom and Zeus over at the Shout It Out Loud cast. I said at least three positive things about Kiss in this last segment here. So,
yeah, exactly. It's not bad. Not too bad. Well, as we say, 2021, fresh new start. And as expected, at some point, Hulu was going to release a biopic about the Tom and Pammy sex tape. Weren't you expecting that to come out at some point soon?
This is what
is bananas. Is there something left to find out about this?
But this leads me to believe that this actually stars Seth Rogen of Knocked Up and several, you know, classics of our modern age, to be the guy, to play the guy that actually stole the tape. Which, if you know Seth Rogen's kind of background, he's been in a movie called something like, I think it's called like A Glorious Orgy. There was one movie that he was in. Or do you know what I'm talking about or not?
Is it the one Let's Make a Porno or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's in that one too. The man is absolutely a pervert. Let's just say that right now. Seth Rogen loves the porn because there's at least three or four movies that are all about that.
My sister thinks I look like him. I don't see it.
No.
Fucking Brad Pitt, baby. That's who I look like, bitch.
That's right. Funko Brad Pitt.
I'll take Funko Brad over Seth Rogen. I like Seth Rogen, though. I think he's funny.
No, I think he is, too. But I'll tell you what. Do you know who sounds exactly like Seth Rogen, though?
Who's that?
Craig Smith.
You motherfucker.
Ah, yeah.
Go listen to him and go listen to Seth Rogen interview. Yeah, you'll hear it.
If he altered his diction a little bit, it'd be spot on. He'd have to work on the laugh. I can't.
Oh, yeah, no. That's a terrible laugh.
Craig has a better laugh, but
just line up "you motherfucker" with Craig Smith saying it and Seth Rogen, identical.
Mm.
It could pass.
Absolutely.
All right. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's almost like Seth Rogen saw the dirt and is like, they left a huge part out of this documentary. Yes?
You're talking about Tommy's dick?
Yeah, exactly. How far
Remember,
can you
that's,
take,
that's I mean, trickery. It's how you shave.
But I'm just trying to think, how do you make an hour-long episode, much less a, quote, movie, out of this? The entire story is a dude stole a tape.
And my roommate and had the VHS of that they sold. You know what I mean? Like, you could actually, and I swear it was maybe about an hour long. And what is there's like maybe
3 minutes.
Yeah, 40 seconds of Pam giving them a blowjob in a car, and then a couple more minutes of them banging.
And then, I guess, driving a boat.
Yeah, with honking a boat with the horn with his dink.
That's about it. That's about it. The rest of it is like just boring conversations and stuff.
Yeah, it's
like
fucking typical shitty homemade video of a holiday trip, you know?
What are they going to do? Are they going to act out the boringness of that tape? And like, I'm just trying to think of how you could make.
But yeah, they're
going to
break down
thing.
How it got stolen. And
the guy took it out of the safe and he walked out and he sold it to some unsavory characters and they made a bunch of money. What else?
How about this?
Is there?
Let's. How about we predict? Will this be sympathetic to their side of the story?
Yes.
Or to the pornographer's side of the story?
To their side. Yeah. That they've had such an invasion of privacy and things
that's
like
why
that.
They signed a contract to market it and sell it. Well, it's already out there. Might as well get some money.
I just want to see the thing.
Let me ask a serious question. Do you think we'd know what Kim Kardashian looks like naked if it wasn't for that video?
Of course, she'd be naked some other time.
Yeah,
right?
But now follow the dominoes. So in my theory would be it goes Pam and Tommy, and then Paris Hilton suddenly becomes famous for no reason, and then she has a sex tape, and she has got Kim Kardashian as a best friend. So if none of that happens, I think we don't get the we don't even know who the fuck she is, which would be a much better thing, honestly.
Sure. Sure. Maybe that's kind of where it's going, is this is how you become famous sometime in this era.
That's my theory that I'm throwing out there. That yeah, it started with Pommy's or Tommy's dick.
Yeah. But do you know who the person that was the innovator of all time of this is? People forget that people think that that's the most famous tape. The most famous tape, the first one, was Rob Lowe. He was in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. But his was more salacious. Like, it was like, first of all, it was all bootleg. There was no internet.
Right.
So, and wasn't there something like underage with the person he was with or something like that?
I believe so, but we've just kind of, you know, swept that under the rug at this point. Yeah. But
Rob Lowe, by the way,
a
missed opportunity. You talk about that for a great porn name.
It does sound
phonetically,
like a good one, doesn't it?
Raw,
yeah.
Blow.
Raw Low. And you've got Fred Durst ruined it for everybody. Him and Gene Simmons for the whole tapes.
Yeah, Gene Simmons is like, I gotta get in on this.
He's like, how can I impersonate a corpse with a shirt?
He's jumping on that Vinnie Vincent fame wagon. Everything, you know, happening in 2020 with COVID and shutting a lot of businesses down and a lot of businesses, you know, are not coming back. They're basically shutting down for good. And well, there's one very near and dear to this show, its listeners, and most importantly, ULC, that sadly we found out will not be coming back.
Which
do you want?
And you will never be in the bathroom of Witch ever again. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I remember it was December 14th, and it was in the afternoon, and I was hungry, and I needed to go get myself a sandwich, and so I headed to Witch, and went to the strip mall, which I always frequent near my workplace. The entire Witch sign gone. It's like when you go up to those strip malls and you know something's out of business, and you're not, and you can see the silhouette.
I was going
to
ask, so you could see where
it was. Like
this is hard to hear. This is not easy
to
hear.
It is hard to hear. And I went up there, and I was in disbelief. I actually went up to the thing and looked in there just to make sure they weren't remodeling. Gone. And it had just been a week. It was like, poof! I was there a week earlier.
Wow.
And yes, that Witch that somehow has become very famous. We put a lot of effort into this podcast. The thing I didn't put a lot of effort in was telling that story, and it's become kind of legendary. So that place, that particular Witch, gone forever. So I will never be able to use that bathroom and possibly try to fix what I broke and make it even worse.
Do they have like some sort of historical society there in Denver or some place that can preserve a location for its significance to the community or something like that?
I'm going to find out.
Yeah, you should.
I do think it's important. And I think that I am going to go to find a Witch that is open, and I'm going to get some brown bags from them that I would used to write the ingredients on, and I'm going to put a 40 inside of that thing and pour out a little liquor for this lost Witch. But quite heartbreaking, I must say.
Is there any chance you could just like break in and steal the toilet and just have that for
to put that in my front lawn as like a memorial?
Put some flowers in it.
Put right in there. I think I could just do a replica of it and just have the top lid part just cracked in three pieces.
Nice.
Just laying there and put a date.
Yeah.
There's got to be some way of doing a tribute.
I think what you should do is that let's go back on the tape. Let's track down the actual day that you destroyed the toilet. And and annually, you, me, our listeners, we go to a Subway and we destroy a toilet. Just
out of revolt.
Yeah, every day, every on that day every year, we call it, you know, which toilet day or something.
Why can't we go to the existing which ones and do it? It's not like all of them shut down.
Yeah, but maybe they can't. They're shutting down pretty heavy, though. There's only one left in the metro area where I live here, and it's not close, so that sucks. Mm. That's why, because Subway sucks, and fuck them. Bust their toilets. Yeah. A lot of them don't have bathrooms, though.
Or won't let you use them until you pay in full.
Yeah.
At least they let me go there first.
Or, you know what? You know? You just go to a Walmart that has a Subway in it and take it. Take a shit on the floor somewhere, but no one will notice.
What about simplifying it for more of our guests and just tell them to do an upper decker?
There we go. Upper deck. Yeah, just go into any restaurant and upper deck on that day once a year.
Yeah, I think that's good.
We call it.
We'll announce it.
The witch shit, or the shit witch. The shit witch. What are you doing for shit witch this year? I'm going to do an upper decker at fucking pop or I'm going to do an upper decker at what's the goddamn fucking Jimmy John's? I'm going to do an upper decker at Jimmy John's.
You know what? I think the problem is, though, is that I think that we may be almost like when you instigate a riot, because I think our fans would follow these instructions and take pictures. I know Gene Vogel's already got his pen in hand, ready to write down the date.
Oh, Gene Vogel, Andy Schall, and I plan on getting together every year and doing it together. We'll just all three of us with our butts hanging over a toilet, trying to drop fucking turds into the back cavity there.
You know what? I think it's easy to do. I'm gonna look up. There's like the holidays for
we'll record
cookie
it
day.
For the fans.
Yeah, but there's got to be a day that's already out there called, like, Submarine Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
That we'll just declare it there. There's Cookie Day.
A new kind
of
submarine,
kind of
if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, man, that's it. That's what COVID, the biggest tragedy of last year was the 20 of the COVID shutdown. Which?
Yeah, all of us, you know, in the Cobra and Fire family are feeling the pain with you, but most importantly for you. You're not alone, buddy. So, hey, man, if you need someone to talk to, call Rob or Chris. Just
So here's the deal,
talk
though,
to your
man.
Wife.
So here's some positivity, though. 2021, I'm gonna put it down right now. July is gonna be the first time that there's a concert that's actually allowed and not one of these an LA Guns. Or great white ones.
Yeah, okay. I think that's optimistic, but I don't want to be negative at this early in the year. Whatever. Let's see. Let's hope so, man. Fuck it. It's been too long.
Yeah. And do you think that positivity-wise, too, August, we'll see the return of the Rockin' Pod Expo?
I feel better. I feel more confident that that'll be back by August than the first concert from July 1st. If you want my gut feeling, I'm perfectly fine being wrong on that in a positive direction, not in a negative. I sure hope it's not the other way where we're lingering into this crap towards the fall and winter next year. So, but the vaccine's getting out slow. They're saying, but I think things are going to start ramping up. I do think that's going to get moving. And once that does, they're saying only about 70% of the country really needs to have it before we can start moving around normal again. So I think that's a achievable goal.
What do you think about this this thing where supposedly you have some kind of ID that shows you're vaccinated to go into a concert? If you're sure of this bullshit?
Yeah. They might. I will not go. I mean, I already think fucking places like Ticketmaster have too much of my information. Want fucking medical records? Sorry, and the fact that anybody would even consider doing that is just shows you how much privacy means nothing to us nowadays. Like we just willingly, I mean, look at they used Google Maps to help solve this Nashville bombing for fuck's sake. As great as that is, that's also pretty fucking scary. Yeah, it's like, come on, man. There's just this fucking public archive that shows my house with my car parked in front of it. Fuck that.
Right. And that's why I say always bring two black socks, a pair of underwear, and a bag to cover up the sensors at any hotel you go to. That's how you beat the man.
That's how you bring an episode back, baby.
That's right.
All right. You want to get out of here?
I do.
All right, man. Well, fuck. I think we're starting off 2021 strong, baby.
All right.
Always good talking to you.
You as well. So let's get out of here. No. Here we go. Rock's not dead.
But we had to change the lyrics.
I am an arms dealer.
You're doing this, I'm gonna grab more coffee.
All right, I'm ready now.
Well, tough. I should have left it, not listened to you then. I was just being friendly.
Oh man, not friendly too often.
Make some noise.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.